to Iraq, where ISIS is claiming a big victory in the city of Ramadi, just 70 miles away from Baghdad. Joining us from Erbil is Mitch Prothero, Iraq Bureau Chief for McClatchy. And Mitch, what are you hearing today about Ramadi and the latest there?
Well, what we found today is essentially it's almost like the hangover day, as everybody accepts that the weekend went terribly for the Iraqi government. It appears as though the Islamic State is consolidating its control over the population, and the government is pushing out basically Iranian-backed Shia militias, who might be some of their only remaining military forces. They're pushing them out to an airbase about 12 to 15 miles on the outskirts of Ramadi to prepare for a counterattack. The other issue that we're hearing, though, is that the Islamic State itself understands that's going to happen and is pushing their forces out towards that very same airbase, where I'd expect in the next day or so there's going to be a massive confrontation.
And how did this happen? How did we get to this point where Ramadi appears to be under ISIS control?
Well, you know, if you look at the geography, much of Anbar province had fallen to the Islamic State and to what we'd say disenfranchised Sunni Muslim tribes who were very unhappy with the Maliki government. This happened actually 6 months before the fall of Mosul last year. Ramadi had been holding out at least in the city center. It's the provincial capital, so it had a lot of government infrastructure and sort of some pro-government tribes involved. But if you look at the map again, it's fairly isolated. It had been basically completely surrounded by unfriendly territory for almost a year and a half. Then basically what we saw was a tactical move by the Islamic State. They clearly planned this offensive for some time and used a combination of what the U.S. military would say, like combined arms, where they used bulldozers, suicide bombers, heavy artillery, heavy machine guns, and then very quick-moving troops to basically encircle, terrorize, and demoralize the Iraqi garrison, which ended up fleeing over the course of the weekend.
And giving up a lot of equipment that the U.S. had provided to them. And this is something that we saw in previous battles where the Islamic State was able to take U.S. equipment that the Iraqi forces just abandoned in the middle of battle. But Mitch, when we talked to you about the Battle of Tikrit, it appeared that things were moving in the other direction, that that was a battle that Iraq was able to win with U.S. air support, that ISIS was pushed back out of Tikrit.
Right. And the situations, geographically, they're different. Tikrit sort of stuck out as one of the furthest south outposts of the Islamic State, relatively close to Baghdad, and in an area where the Iraqi forces could move fairly easily to and from, you know, the battle space. There's some question as to how much the Islamic State wished to defend such an exposed city as Tikrit. And it's entirely possible now that we're seeing that maybe they'd pulled out a lot of their forces, as were rumored at the time. Even so, that took a month, multiple airstrikes, and incredibly heavy casualties on the side of the Iraqi forces. So when you came around to Ramadi, you know, it's much more isolated if you're the Iraqi government. It's much larger. And, you know, the Islamic State was able to really tactically sort of outmaneuver them and take everybody sort of by surprise.
And was the U.S. involved in trying to defend Ramadi at all?
Yeah, we have a report today that over the 72 hours, they dropped, I believe, 19 specific airstrikes in defense of the garrison, which, again, is, you know, it can be a lot if you're in the wide open desert. But when you're talking about trying to identify targets in house-to-house urban fighting, this is a very dense urban environment. It's going to be incredibly difficult, particularly when you realize that, you know, there aren't trained American forward air controller sitting there guiding those strikes down. You're essentially going off of drone footage or off of Iraqi guys calling in, you know, positions of the enemy that then have to be approved. You have to fly a drone over it to make sure civilians aren't there. So it's just a much more complicated process and doesn't allow you to drop bombs nearly as precisely in such a built-up urban area.
How much threat is there that ISIS takes Baghdad at some point?
I don't think there's much threat that they'll take Baghdad, although I do knock on wood. The fact is Baghdad's really controlled by these Shia militias, and the Islamic State hasn't shown an ability to take over and control areas that don't at least have some sympathetic population to them, like we've seen in Ramadi, Mosul, places like this are all predominantly conservative tribal Sunni areas. But they have done a number of surprising operations in the past. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw more military activity by them with, you know, inside Baghdad itself, whether it's via terrorist attacks or specific attacks on ministries or military positions. But taking it over seems a little far-fetched right now. But again, nobody thought they could take over Mosul, and nobody thought they could take over Ramadi.
That's Mitch Prothero, the Iraq bureau chief for McClatchy, speaking with us from Erbil in Iraq. Mitch, thank you so much, as always.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Thank you.